Hallelujah. What's the title again? Intimacy with God. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. Are you there? Okay, I'd like someone to read for me verse 17. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Hopefully I can go around today and everybody will get reading. First Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 17. Yes?
But the person who is joined to the Lord.
That person who is joined.
Is one spirit with him.
To the Lord is one spirit. Hallelujah. Let me just establish that truth before I ask my first question. The person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That means that you can be joined to the Lord. So when we talk about intimacy with God, we're talking about a vital relationship with God. That you become one with God. Hallelujah. One with God. You know, I was having a discipleship course during the week, chatting with my brother, and I explained, you know, last week we talked about sonship. As many as received him, he gave them the power to become what? The sons of God. He didn't just give them the right to be called. No, no, no. He gave them the power to become. I am a son of God because I have received Jesus. Hallelujah. I am not what? A son of God. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my King. He is also my senior brother because he's the firstborn amongst many brethren. Hallelujah. I am a son of God. Hallelujah. Now, if you have received Jesus, say, I am a son or I'm a child of God. Say that. You see, you need that identity is important. Now, let me explain. When you say I'm a son of God, it confers on you certain rights and certain responsibilities. Hallelujah. Because I'm a son of God, the devil cannot just come into my life and operate anyhow. My life is a no-go area for the devil. I'm a son of God. If the devil shows up, I kick him out. I'm a son of God. Because the Bible says, this is the reason why the son of God was manifested. That he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. That's my right. It's my covenant right in Christ. But you see, there's also responsibility. Hallelujah. Now, when you're a son, when you're a servant in the house, all you just want to do is do your part and get your salary and go. Just do your minimum best and go. Once your salary is paid, you're happy. Yeah? That's the life of a servant. But when you're a son, you understand that the inheritance, the well-being of that house is, it affects your life. Hallelujah. So if I'm a son of God, I care about the kingdom. I'm joined to the Lord. The Lord's interest is my interest because I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. When God wants to operate and is looking for who to use to operate, I show up because I'm a son of God. You don't understand. You see, whatever inheritance belongs to the house belongs to the children. Hallelujah. If I'm living in a place, even if I'm a child there, if someone wants to come against that place, it's in my interest to not allow them. Because I'm a son in the house. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, say, I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. You know, you can say that even if you're a woman, because in the spirit, there's no gender. There's no male spirit or female spirit. God is a spirit. Hallelujah. There's no gender. Hallelujah. I'm a son of God. Glory to God. I am joined to the Lord. I am one spirit with the Lord. And the Lord cares about me. And I care about him. Hallelujah. We are joined together. I'm in union with God. I am in union with God. God lives in me. Hallelujah. I am in Christ. And Christ is in me. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says in Romans. He said, no, in all these things, no matter what is coming against you, he said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. No matter what is coming against you,
You have inside you what it takes to overcome. No matter the temptation that is coming against your life, you have inside you the Spirit of the Living God. The Spirit of the Living God is the answer to all problems. The Spirit of the Living God living in you, yeah, knows the answer to all problems. Even mathematics. Hallelujah. Let's go to the first question. The answer is from 1 Corinthians 6. Let's just read it and then I will ask you that question. 1 Corinthians 6, where we are. You're not changing where you are. And we're going to read verse 9 to 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 14. And I want to move through this part quickly because I want to take you to 1 John. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 to 14. I'll read. He said, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourself. Please turn to your neighbor and say, don't fool yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or abusive or cheat people, none of these, somebody say none of these, will inherit the kingdom of God. See, that's the bad news. But let me tell you the good news. He says some of you were once like that. Say some of us were once like that. Hallelujah. But you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God. You see, no matter what you've been struggling against in your life, whether in the past or in the present, God's grace is enough to transform your life. Hallelujah. God's grace is not there to pamper you. God's grace is there to transform you. Hallelujah. The evidence that God's grace is at work in your life is that you are being transformed. If God's grace are working your life, your life cannot or should not remain the same. If your life is remaining the same, then that God's grace is being taken in vain. Hallelujah. The evidence that God's grace are working your life is that there is a change. There's a transformation. Hallelujah. The purpose of grace, yeah, is not to accommodate you. The purpose of grace is to empower you. Somebody say empower. Anything that God wants to achieve in your life, He is the one that is going to give you the power to do it. What you just need is to cooperate with Him. Where we miss it is that we don't cooperate. You go ahead and do your own thing. And you expect grace to make a solution. It can't. You have to cooperate with grace. Say cooperate. Hallelujah. As you cooperate with God, impossible things become possible. Hallelujah. That's the whole story of the Bible. From Adam to Noah to Abraham to Moses to David. It's all about cooperating with God. Hallelujah. Even to Jesus when he came. He said, sacrifice and offering you didn't desire. Yeah. It's not how much you fasted. I always keep trying to explain to people, I said, fast, the purpose of fasting is for you to wait on the Lord, to give Him attention, so that you can hear from Him. Hallelujah. The purpose of fasting is not really to solve your problem, although indirectly it will solve your problem, because if you can hear from God, yeah, you will know what God is telling you about your problem, or about your life. Amen? But the purpose of fasting is that you take time away from all your busyness, and you concentrate on God. Hallelujah. Because it is your willingness to cooperate with God that brings solution and transformation. And we're talking about intimacy with God. When you begin to practice intimacy with God, your life starts changing. You will surprise yourself. You say, oh, is that me? So you mean, you know, I can be like this? Yes, you can. When you begin to practice intimacy with God, you open the Bible and it comes alive. Hallelujah. Because now, you know why? Because you recognize that you are a son of God. I'm not just anybody. I'm not trying to dribble God. Are you listening to me? Sometimes we try to dribble God. He tried to be smart. Okay, I know, okay, if I can do this and this, God should be happy. You don't really have time for God, but you... No! You make up your mind once and for all that I am for Jesus. Everything. Nothing held back. Hallelujah. Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from where? From where? Above. It means that all those good things you are looking for, the real original is from above. Don't chase the counterfeit. All the good things you are trying to enjoy in this life, the original version of them is from above. Don't chase what? The counterfeit. Hallelujah. Let me continue reading and I will ask you that question. Verse 12. He said, you say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord. Listen to that. Our bodies were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised up our Lord Jesus from the dead. Okay? So question. This is a question. You ready? I'll give you the answer. Why did God give you a body? We're talking about intimacy with God. But we want to start from the body. Then we move to the soul. And then we move to what? The spirit. All three you need for intimacy with God. Now listen. I'm telling you that you need your body for intimacy with God. Now that may sound like a bit like, what did he say? Why did God give you a body? Yes. This body you have, why did God give you? Why didn't God just make you a spirit that is floating about? Yes. Let's have three answers. Why did God give you a body?
To function and to do the practical.
God gave, you know, you hit that first reason. God gave you a body so that you can function on the earth. The day you lose the body, you can't function on the earth again. If the body is sick, you can't function well. Huh? Hallelujah. It doesn't matter whether you are the boxing champion. If he falls sick, he can't function. Even a little boy can slap him. There's nothing you can do. Amen? God gave you a body so that you can what? Function on the earth. Yes? That's a fundamental reason. Let's take it more. Let's take it higher or deeper. Why did God give you a body?
Because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you are jumping ahead. We'll come to that. But change it again. Change it. Read a bit further and see the reason. Why did God give you a body? Yes. Yes. Why did God give you a body?
For a purpose?
Yes. What's the purpose? You're going to get me there. Yes, he gave you a body for a purpose. But let's just stop there and let us realize that God gave you a body for a purpose. It's not just random. This body you have is for a purpose. Yes. Why did God give you a body? Two more answers. You want to get it all today? Wow.
Look after it as well.
Okay, so God gave you a body so you can look after it. Okay, I think that's an indirect reason, but it's still valid. Why did God give you a body? The answer I'm looking for follows on from functioning.
God created man in his own image so that I would look like him.
Yes, yeah. Yes. It's so, still is. Mm-hmm. Did you want to say more? Is that all?
No, that, I think that's why he created, give us body.
Okay.
He's a creation. Our body or we humans are creation of God's image. To
okay.
Look like.
So, your body is an expression of God. But still coming back to the reason, the function. Your body is an expression. So, basically, you can't have expression without your body. See what I mean? If you're happy or sad, if you are, you know, excited or not, it's this body that will communicate it. Amen? Yes? Why did God give you a body?
God, he gave a body to be a temple of God. Because
to be a
we represent God.
Okay? So God gave you, again, you can see coming back into function, to be a temple, to represent God. To, like Brotin said, we are made in his image. To express God. To function. for God. Hallelujah. I think we hit the answer. Let me just summarize them. So God gave us bodies. We'll come back to that temple business very soon. So that you can function on the earth to do his will and fulfill his purpose. That's from God's point of view. Now you may use your body to do any other thing, but from God's point of view, the reason why he gave you this body is so that you can function and do his will and fulfill his purpose. That's the purpose of your body. So that you can express God. So you can represent God. So you can do things for God. Let me say it another way. God gave you a body so you can use it for his glory. Because when we say we are created in God's image, you don't understand really what you are saying. If God creates you in his image, there's only one reason. He wants you to live for his glory. Why else would God create you in his image? Why didn't God make you, sorry, I'm not talking to you directly, but why didn't God make you a dog or a cat? You know, why did God create you a human in his image? It's so that you can function for his glory. The moment I function for God's glory, I'm fulfilling my purpose. The moment I don't, I'm no better than a dog who just does his own thing. You see the difference? My body belongs to the Lord. Say to yourself, say, my body belongs to the Lord. Amen. Let's ask another question. Now, you see, one answer that's been coming up well is that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's read it again. 1 Corinthians 6. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Let's read verse 19 and 20. I'll give Sister Pamela now to read. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20.
Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God, or are you not your own? Sorry, you are not your own.
You are not what? Your own. You do not own yourself. The same place, verse 19 and 20. In the same place.
You were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your bodies.
Yeah, in the same place. Yeah, same. First Corinthians 6. Yeah, 19 and 20, which is it's okay. Yeah, I know. Just show you where it is. Yeah, 19 and 20. Yeah, okay. Please, have you finished? He said you are not your own. You know, I say that you are not. Many times you think I'm the owner. You know, I've heard people say, you know, I'm the owner of my life and I will do whatever I like with it. And nobody can challenge me. You know what God does when you do that? He laughs. He said, "That does not will laugh." It's in the Bible. He said, "We laugh." You know why? Because it's a very foolish statement. You don't even know. You just woke up one day, maybe when you were 4 or 3 years old, and you found out that you existed. You don't know where you came from. Hallelujah! You are not the owner. I think the best thing you need to understand, if you are ever going to walk with God, is that you are not the owner of your life. Amen. Your life, your body, is a gift from God. Hallelujah. And he gave you that gift so you can function on the earth to do his will and fulfill his purpose. Amen. Now, anything you do in your life that is glorifying God, yeah, is a good purpose for your body. Amen. Anything you do. Let me give you the example. For example, this. Now, when a woman is pregnant and they give birth to a child, even that is worship. So long they've done it right. Because they are fulfilling God's purpose. He told them, be fruitful and what? Multiply. So long they've done it right. So then they don't done it wrong. That process is worship. Because you are fulfilling the original purpose that God made that body for. Amen? When you come to church, you know, and you use your energy to set up or pack up church. Yeah? That body is functioning in a way that is glorifying God. Yeah? But if I go now and begin to, you know, chase after another man's wife, yeah? Now, I am destroying the purpose of the body. That does not glorify God. Hallelujah? But if I'm getting along well with my wife, I'm fulfilling the purpose of my body. That is glorifying. That is a song unto God. It's worship. Hallelujah? Anytime your body is functioning in the right way to do the right things that God planned for you to do, you are glorifying God. If I spend all my energy sweating it out on the field, in the gym, but I don't have time to put some energy into the kingdom, I am not glorifying God. I'm misusing that body. This is what I'm trying to say. Because the body is to honor the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to gym or the field. I'm saying that that cannot become a higher priority. Yeah? Than the kingdom. This is what I'm trying to say. The body is to function for his glory. Amen? When the things we are chasing in life begin to dominate us, the body is being misused. See, everything that comes along your way in life is a means to an end. It must never become the end in itself. Hallelujah. Whatever work I do is a means to what? To glorify him. But when it becomes the end in itself and I don't have time for God, then it's a misuse of what? My body. Okay, now next question is this. When the Bible says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? It says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? Yes. Let's look for those who have been quiet. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes. What does that mean?
I think because you go to a temple to worship.
You go to a temple to do what?
To worship.
To worship. A temple is a place of what?
Worship.
Worship. Yeah, finish what you want to say.
You use your body to worship God.
Thank you. You couldn't have said it better. You know the Bible says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It means your body. Say just say my body is a place of worship. Do you know what that means? Let's take some other answers. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Yes?
I was going to say, because we are spirits, but we live in a body on earth, the Holy Ghost Spirit cannot operate without being in a body, because for it to operate on earth, it needs that physical side of it.
Yes. I just want to tell you something. You know, sometimes, many times when God tells you to do something and you refuse to do it, you are thinking maybe God can come down and do it by himself. The law, there's a law. There's a divine law. Anytime God wants to operate on earth, he needs a man. That's why when God wanted to come down, Jesus had to become what? A man. Because the law of the heart says, to function, you need a body. That's why even when devils want to operate, you know devils? When they want to operate, what do? They possess or obsess people. Because the law of the heart says that to operate, you need what? A body. So when Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, it means that that is where God operates. Because actually, if you look at Jerusalem temple, there was the Holy of Holies where God dwelt. And he operates from there. Your body is a place where God operates. God wants to function through you on the earth. If there was someone somewhere that was in trouble and God wanted to reach them, he will send somebody like you. Amen? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes. So let me ask you this question. What do you know about a temple? If you say something is a temple, what comes to your mind in terms of how to treat it? You say a temple. You're in a temple. How would you treat or respond to a temple?
We respect.
Respect, yes, I like that. Yes, another word. A temple. When you enter a temple, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Yes. It's a sacred place. Yes, I like that. That means that if my body is a sacred place, I cannot just allow anything or anybody just mess with it. Hallelujah. I can't mess with it, and I can't allow anything or anybody just mess with it because it's sacred. Yes, a temple.
It's capable of transition into a higher, like beyond physical.
Yes, it's a place of spirituality. Yes, any other answer? Let's take two more, and then I move on.
It's an holy place.
It's what?
Holy.
And all your temple is an holy place. Hallelujah. You know, from the holy also consecrate. It's an holy place. Sister Twin said, respect. Your body is an holy place. So there are two things you need to know about your body. You need to respect your body. Please turn to your neighbor. In this case, your dad. Say, you need to respect your body. Let me tell you something. No matter how great you are, no matter how much anointing you are, how much God has called you, if you don't respect your body, you will compromise your ministry. Hallelujah. If you do, you have to respect your body. When it's time to sleep, sleep. If you are missing sleep, catch up. Don't go on continuous run of 4 hours for 3 months. You are programming yourself for disaster. Yeah? There are times you lose sleep, catch up. If it becomes too much, shut down everything and rest. You need to exercise well. It's part of respecting your body. Amen? You need to abstain from some things. For example, you need to abstain from drugs. Drugs vary. I'm not talking of medicine. Dr. George. We need medicine sometimes. Amen? But the difference between medicine and drugs. Please tell us, what's the difference between medicine? Taking medicine and taking drugs. Add drugs. What? Because they are all drugs, aren't they?
Okay, to make it easy, illicit drugs. Yeah. Medicine will help to bring your body back to normal. It will heal you, but drugs will destroy it.
Medicine helps to bring your body back to normal. Drugs help to take your body away from normal to abnormal. Hallelujah. We respect our body so that it can function well for the Lord. It's all part of intimacy. See, when you continuously disrespect your body, you can't function well. And you lose your intimacy with God. Because why? When God needs that body for something, it's not in the best state. Amen? Your body is a temple. It means it must be kept what? Holy. So, respecting your body, then you also need to respect the Lord in your body. It's like you understand that this body is not mine. So, what am I using it for? Is it glorifying God what I'm using this body for? Hallelujah. And that's why I tell you that you cannot just sit back and not serve the Lord. You have to. It's not optional. Serving the Lord is not optional. There's no other way you're going to argue it or look at it. When I understand I have a body, the first responsibility I understand to respond that this body must be used to serve God. He said to yourself, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I must serve God with my body. I don't think I can teach it any other way. It's not enough to serve God with your spirit and with your mind. Because your spirit and your mind express themselves through your body. Hallelujah. If you love God, there's a way you can show it. Oh, no, actually, someone say, I love God. Actually, love God. Don't judge me. I love God. God. But Jesus said, by their fruit, you shall what? No, what you see proves what you have inside. Hallelujah. What you do consists, I don't mean what you did by mistake. What you do continuously is a reflection of who you are inside. So your body is a temple, and the way I like to conclude on that is you need to keep it holy. Holy. Let me not complicate it. Holy means use your body to honor God. When your body is honoring God, it's holy. Amen. Amen. It doesn't mean, holiness does not mean you walk, sanctimoniously, and you look very wretched. No. When you use your body to honor God, that body is holy. Because the real meaning of holy is set apart for God. Holy really means set apart. Amen. And keep your body healthy. You keep your body healthy. Okay? Let's take the last question. We are looking at intimacy with God. And finally, I want to treat this question and then we round up in 10 minutes. Okay, so let's read 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. And then we take the last question. One of the last questions for the day. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5 to 9. Yes, who has not spoken today? Mr. Frida, do you want to read? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. Yes, 1 John. 1 John is before, if you move from back from Revelations. Yeah, 1 John chapter 1.
First John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 5. First John chapter 1, verse 5 to 9, please. Yes, we are talking about intimacy with God. And we started with the body, but now we want to move from the body to the spirit. Because he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Amen? Yes, 1 John 1, 5 to 9.
Okay. This is the message we heard from Jesus.
Listen to the message from Jesus.
And now declare to you.
Listen to that message now. Go on.
God is light.
God is what? Light.
And there is no sickness in him at all.
No sickness. Hallelujah. Yeah. But much more than that, no darkness. Yeah, is it darkness said? Or sickness?
Oh yeah, there is no darkness.
And there is what? No dark. But sickness is part of darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe that's for someone. Hallelujah. That's for someone. God is light and there's no sickness in him at all. Is there any sickness in God? No. But there's no darkness in him. Go on, please.
So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness.
Please understand what he's saying there. He says that there is a direct result of fellowship. You see, if you are struggling in any part of your life with one form of spiritual darkness or the other, what you need is to expose yourself more to fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. Hallelujah. What is fellowship? Like when we are together like this, sharing the word of God, is what? Fellowship. That's the power that God has provided for you to overcome darkness. God is telling you that if you are walking in spiritual darkness, you are not in fellowship. It's not possible. It's either you are in fellowship or not. When you are in fellowship, yeah, the light will start dominating you. It may not happen overnight, but gradually you will see that something is changing in your life. If the darkness is persisting, the simple reason is that you are out of fellowship. Come on. I'm not talking to you, Sister Frida.
We are not practicing the truth.
Yeah.
But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other.
Please, let's just get that again. Let me show you another key there. He said, if you are living in the light, just like God is in the light, there's a proof. You will want to be in fellowship. It's proof. It's a simple way. You don't need to decode it. When people don't want to be in fellowship, they are not living in the light. Question. Okay. Fellowship. Fellowship. I need to type it. Samuel, help me. Fellowship. Fellowship is taken from the Greek word koinonia. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. It means communion, intimacy. Even that same word means intercourse. It's fellowship. Hallelujah. Bible says when we are walking in the light, as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship. And see the direct result of fellowship. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Even now, this one you've not even prayed for forgiveness. Just the fact that you're in fellowship. Yeah? The word of God starts cleansing you. The blood of Jesus starts cleansing you. Hallelujah. That's the direct. Fellowship will change your life. If it's genuine fellowship. If you're in a genuine place where the word of God is being preached and the love of God is being practiced, your life will change. If you are engaging. But if you are not, you see, you are destroying intimacy. I said something before. I said, God doesn't like giving takeaway. Is that telling you? Do you understand what I just said? God doesn't, you know, in the food business, God doesn't like takeaway. Takeaway is good. Takeaway has saved many lives. Yeah, but I tell her, am I right? The Chinese takeaway. Hallelujah. Sometimes when the kitchen is not operating, yeah, any man in the house, when the kitchen is not operating as it should operate, thank God for what? Takeaway. Hallelujah. But you see, God doesn't like doing takeaway. He wants you to sit around the table and eat in the house. Hallelujah. He doesn't like. That's why people who live on takeaway, they are deceiving themselves.
They can never be intimate with God. They will go to their life, they will never know God. They will know about God, they will never know God. Because God is a jealous God. You don't know what meaning of jealous means. He's not messing about. He wants you. He said, God, God wants. He wants the whole thing. Hallelujah. You know why? He owns you. God is your original husband. He is. Because you belong to him. So he doesn't like doing takeaway. You know, takeaway means, you know, God, just solve my problem. But I don't want to have anything to do with you. That's takeaway. God doesn't like doing takeaway. You know what God does? For those who don't know God, he does taste and see. Taste and see means God will give you a taste of the action. You may not know God, but God can give you a miracle. The purpose of the miracle is that so that you can come closer. When God does taste and see, showing you that I am God. This thing you need, I have it. But if you taste and see God, then go your way. Do your own thing. Yeah? You think then that when I need God, I will just come and do takeaway. You are deceiving what? Yourself. But what God wants you to do is, he wants you to sit around the table and dine with him. Hallelujah. Say, God wants me to sit around his table daily and dine with him. That's sonship. That's intimacy. That's fellowship. Hallelujah. If you will go far with God, you need fellowship. You need intimacy with God. Because he's a father. He's your father. And you are his child. Amen? We'll round up in 1-2 minutes. Let me just see. Make another point on that. Yes. Give me verse 9, Sister Frida. Verse 9. Yes. 1 John 1, 9.
But if
verse 8 and 9, sorry. If we claim that we have no sin, I know you don't say it that way. You know why you say it? You say, I'm okay.
We are only fooling ourselves.
Let me just wait. I know you're running. Wait. What I'm trying to say is that. You know why you say you're okay? It's not because you know that. You're not saying you're perfect. Don't misunderstand. You never say you're perfect. What you said is that you are okay. And you know, for you to decide you're okay, you know what you've done? You've compared yourself with some people around you. Yeah? You just look and say, before God will judge me, you best have to judge all these other people. He said, I'm okay. That's the meaning of that statement. He said, if we say we have no sin, what if I say I'm okay? What am I doing? Please read it.
We are only fooling ourselves.
You're only fooling. You didn't fool God. You are just fooling what? Yourself. Yes, continue.
And not living in the truth.
And you are not in the truth. But what? Verse 9. I love verse 9. Verse 9.
But if we confess our sins.
If we confess our sins. You don't mean confess your sin. You can't confess what you've not admitted. Let's start with this. Say, I'm not okay. God, I need you. You know those two people that went to God? One was a Pharisee. He said, God, I do this. Even I'm better than that. I'm not like that sinner over there. But that sinner, the Bible said that he could not even, he said, God, have mercy on me. Yeah? Bible said that whoever is covering his sin will not prosper. But whoever confesses it and forsakes it, we obtain mercy. Amen. What will he do? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you. That's the last place I'm reading. Let me ask this final question. We round up there. So finally, I want to ask a question. What is the main hindrance to intimacy with God? What is the biggest obstacle, the biggest barrier to your intimacy with God? Think about everything in this world. What is the master problem that stops people from being intimate with God? The answer is in 1 John 8 to 9. What stops us from entering into a more intimate relationship with God? Because I know you love God. I know you love God. I know. But why have you not entered into a more intimate relationship with God? What is the problem? I know you love God. Let's start with those who have not spoken. So, grammar first. Sorry. Grammar.
Sin.
Sin? Yes, yes. You are very right. You are very right. Which type of sin? Which type? Sin is so broad. Which one? Obviously, the answer is sin. But I'm looking for the chief of them that is a problem to this intimacy. What is the chief sin?
Not living in the truth.
Not living in the truth. Yes, yes, yes. I agree. We're still going somewhere. What's the chief? What stops us not to live in the truth when we've known that is the truth? You know something is the truth. But you're not living it. Why? Here's the thing. You know something is the truth, but you refuse to live in it. Why? What is the problem?
Not fellowshipping with God.
Not fellowshipping with God. Yes, I know. Actually, yeah, you know, no, the reason why, let me explain. The reason why we're not fellowshipping is because we're not living in the truth. See what I mean? The reason, fellowship is good, but the reason why we're not fellowshipping is because we're not what? Living in the truth. Is that what 1 John says? But the question is, why? Why are we not fellowshipping? Why are we trying to run away from the fellowship rather than coming closer to it? Especially when it's free. What could be the reason? Yes.
Prideness.
What?
Pride.
Let's have Brother Salah. Let's try him. I know probably you took your answer.
Yeah,
say it.
I was going to say pride.
Okay, well, explain it.
Yeah, well, pride is that you believe you know it all. You believe you are okay.
Yeah.
Self-assured. Self-righteousness.
Self-assurance, self-righteousness. Okay, one more. Okay, two more now. Let's have Sister Evie and then you last. Then we stop there.
Yeah, I was going to say cares and desires of this world.
Oh, this world,
carnalities, yeah.
Can keep you busy. Yes, I agree. And finally?
The same reason that Adam, after he ate the forbidden fruit,
yeah,
from God.
Yes.
I mean, guilt.
Guilt. Okay, guilt can, yes. Okay. All right, let me just stop here. Obviously, look, all the answers you've given are right because in the mindset, like Grandma said, sin, the cares of this world, all this thing. But I'm looking for the principal problem. So I'm looking for the one on the top of the triangle, and it's pride. Let me explain. Guilt is not a problem because he said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Look, maybe Adam had the problem because he didn't know what would happen. But now we have Jesus. He has died. He has shed his blood. The sacrifice has been paid. Guilt is not a problem. Because we can come and say, Jesus, I have messed up. Help me. But why don't we do it? That's the question. So basically, you can see that in guilt, there can be pride. Someone messed up or done something wrong, but they can't repent because they are proud. They continue to celebrate their guilt. How could I have done that? It all me. It's pride. The reason is that when you are proud, you will not submit. You want to do it your own way. Yeah? You want to follow your own opinion. You will not submit to God. When you are proud, God will tell you, this is the solution. You say, no, it doesn't sound nice. I thought you would say something better. It's pride. Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to what? The humble. You see, when I'm humble, I'm able to hear what God is telling me to do. Hallelujah. There's some things that God may tell you to do, you think it's below you. You think you are better than that. But when you're humble, you will not. When you're humble, it's easy to forgive. Because you think about it that if you think too highly of yourself, you will find it more difficult to what? To forgive. The reason is that you think that you can't do what they did. You get me? How can they do that? I can't do that. I can never do that. Until the day you do it. It's pride. If you're humble, you'll be more willing to serve. Hallelujah. If you're humble, you find it easier to drag yourself into fellowship. I just want to remind you that the biggest sin, the first sin in the world was pride. Lucifer, he became proud and he rebelled against God. I tell you something. Every sin is a sin of pride. Tell me anything, I will tell you it's pride. Because it's a sin of going your own way rather than yielding to what God is saying. So guilt is not a problem. Once we are ready to submit to God, we will enter into a more intimate relationship with God. Everything you need to become, everything God wants you to be, is in God. It's not in you. Maybe God wants to do something you think is so big. Yeah? It's God that will empower you to do it. But you cannot receive that power until you submit to Him and say, okay, I'm ready. What God needs is your willingness, your cooperation, or let's say your obedience. Someone who is proud will not obey what God is saying. You know, Saul, King Saul, God told him, do this. He went to do his own thing. He was more interested in how the people perceived him than God. So today, as we finish this message of intimacy with God, I want you to make up your mind. You want to enter into, you know, you've been talking about, you know, I really want to go to the next level with God. You have to start. Yeah, by just, you got to yield yourself. I keep telling myself, I said, look, another 10 years of your life is already clicking. I know you're young. I know you're 23. Or 24, or 25, or 22. I was like that too. Sometimes. Hallelujah. Before you know it, the years will go by. If there's anything you want to do for God, do it today. Live every day like as though it was your last day. That's the way to live without regret. I thought about it. I said, if I'm thinking about, if I knew that today was my last day, how would I live my life? Think about it. Time has gone. You know how I will live my life? I knew that was my life. I will pour it out. I won't mind. Someone slap, annoying me. I won't mind. It's my last day. I don't have time for you know, bitterness, fighting. I'll just pour it out. That's the way to live every day. Hallelujah. That's the way to live every day. Let us pray. I just remind you of some things we've learned today. We've learned about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit, you know, and the purpose of our body is that we have to use our body to serve God. When I say your body, that includes your voice, that includes your energy, that includes your interaction with people, you know, whether good people or bad people. You must let God use you to be a channel of light. He said, God is light. It means that I have to yield my body. When the Holy Spirit wants to walk, He can find me as a vessel to walk through. That's the purpose of my life. Any other thing I do must be connected to serving God. In my workplace, I must serve God. One way or the other, I must find wisdom to use that work to serve God. In my money, I must use my money to serve God. In the words I speak, in the way I interact with people, I must do it in such a way that it will bring glory and honor to God. That is the purpose of my body and my life. He said, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I want you to destroy that mindset of trying to get away with the minimum with God, as though God was your enemy. It's not your enemy, it's your father. When you know that God is your father, you're his son, you want to give it all to him and say, Lord, everything I have, everywhere I am, I just want you to use me for your glory. That doesn't mean you come and live in the church for the rest of your life. No. Everywhere your heartbeat must be to please God. Pray to God and say, Father, help me to enter into a more intimate relationship with you. And that comes through fellowship. And that comes through humility. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.